From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighborhood record store, Southbound Records.
Off air, we have such a mental time here at BFM. Golly gosh. Boy, oh boy, how calm down, everyone. Take a breath. Troy, how are you, man?
Good, how are you?
Good, excellent.
My sides are still sore from all of that.
Some of those fine jokes I told you just before.
Yes, they were hilarious.
Solid, eh?
And then I got told off for laughing.
Yep, that's Sarah. Sarah tries.
What? I did no such thing.
But that's not the truth. You did, in fact, do that.
Oh,
tell
yeah.
Tell them
no,
off for laughing. In fact, your exact words are, oh, don't laugh at them. Oh.
I said, don't feed the beast. You're right. I did say that.
You did, yeah. Anyway, here we are back in 20. Well,
back in the, here's you and I back in the BFM studios, Troy.
Yeah, who would have thought? So that's what? Why is it funny?
Oh, well, it's funny. It's funny because we've both been here for 154 million years.
I know.
But here we are. We love it so much. We love radio, but more the reason we love radio because we love to play music. And you've got some music for us.
I do. Now, things kind
music.
Of
music. For us.
Am I not allowed to encourage that either?
I don't know. I just have two minds about most things.
All right. Music for us.
I do have some music. Now, things slowed down a little bit over the break because it's harder to get to the race.
I nearly spat water all over the panel just then.
Let's just go straight to the first thing we have
before
it gets too out of control.
Oh, look, what's going?
It's
whoa,
a beautiful
whoa,
cover there.
It's a great cover, great piece of art there. Look at these sneaky scallywags. They'll be bloody putting bloody speakers on their bikes and just getting the helicopters going, won't they? Junior Mervyn.
Yes.
Roots Reggae Classic, produced by Lee Scratch Perry, recorded at the legendary Black Art Studios, prior to him burning them down, I suppose.
Prior to that.
With the Upsetters. Blue vinyl.
Yep.
I'm guessing it's reggae.
It is. It's, like it says, it is one of the Roots Reggae Classics. And as I've said before, Roots is not my favourite sort of style of reggae.
Nor mine.
Nor yours.
No.
However, there's a few real standout records, and particularly these ones that came out of the Black Ark in 76, 77. There was The Great War in Babylon by Max Romeo and the Upsetters, which is fantastic. Heptones, Party Time, fantastic. And that one there, Junior Mervyn, Police and Thieves, which, let's all be honest, the first time any of us heard Police and Thieves, it was with The Clash covering it.
I haven't even heard it, I don't think.
What?
Really?
No.
No, I think you have.
It's in quite a few films as well.
Yeah, I don't remember some things, though.
That's true.
Now, why I'm also surprised you haven't heard this one is...
Because I like The Clash. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've discussed this a lot of times, but the vocal influence of the great Curtis Mayfield in Jamaica. Now, Junior Mervyn had started out a few years before as an artist called Junior Soul, and I'm not going to say he was a Curtis impersonator or a tribute act or anything, but basically... his entire vocal style came from, well, I guess somewhere between Curtis and Smokey Robinson.
Is this the same Junior Mervyn who throughout all of, it was virtually unknown, and he was born and raised in Port Antonio?
That's him.
A city in Jamaica's Norrie Shore, perhaps best known in the outside world as one of Errol Flynn's many playgrounds?
Oh, yes.
Billed originally as Junior Soul in the late 60s, and then he made cover versions of Curtis Mayfield's compositions, the main component of his repertoire. Is that the same guy?
That's him, yeah. That's
yeah,
the Junior Mervyn.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
you were right, see?
Yeah, how about that?
So you did know.
Yeah.
Anyway, this record came out on Islands in 77, and the title track had been like a big hit, not just in Jamaica, but in Britain the previous year. And I think what it...
Couldn't ask for better than that then, could you?
No, you could. Well, you could, but you wouldn't get.
Yep.
And I think the song kind of summed up the unrest that was happening in both countries at the time. Sarah, what do you think of Police and Thieves?
It's a great track. And it is, it's totally translatable.
Great, great blurb on the back of this. Really, it's a cool, that's a great picture, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
Great album cover. Incursions, street skirmishes, urban guerrilla tactics, civil war. Call it what you will, there's been plenty of it throughout the world over the past few years. Chile, Angola, Soweto, Northern Ireland, Jamaica, Notting Hill Gate, all have been focal points of flare-ups and conflict, aggression and the assertion of territorial or political demands. So that when Junior Mervyn's song Police and Thieves surfaced in Britain early last summer, it already bore significance for thousands. And not long after its release, there was debacle that besmirched the perennial happy occasion that was the Notting Hill Carnival.
Yeah.
The debacle that besmirched the perennial occasion. There's been many a debacle that has besmirched the perennial occasion in my life.
Notting Hill wasn't all Hugh Grant.
No.
Quite different.
Taking it on depth beyond the general entertainment level of most popular music.
Yes.
That's a great blurb. So this came out when?
1977.
So this is like 1976, that blurb was written. That's amazing.
Give it a hoon.
Give it a hoon. Okay, here we go. Hooning Police and Thieves by Junior Mervyn.
Already the upset sounds.
Oh. Already the iry jellyfish sounds of Rich Reggae.
Vocal though.
Police and thieves in the street, fighting the nation with their guns and ammunition.
Oh, I know that song, yeah, I know that one.
Police and thieves in the street.
Oh, I love the mmms in the background, wow.
Scaring the nation.
Beautiful, with voice like butter. That's like butter.
Guns and ammunition. From Genesis to Revelations, yeah, the next generation will be, hear me, all the crimes committed day by day.
That's Junior singing, is it?
That's Junior, yep.
Beautiful, so you can hear the Curtis, can't you?
Oh yeah.
I always wanted a falsetto like that.
Where do you get them?
I don't know.
Up there.
It's really hard to do.
Police and thieves in the street.
So when you hear Bono trying to go,
lemon, lemon for the sunrise.
It's like, no, 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 shush, man, shush.
Police and thieves.
It does not sound like butter. This sounds like butter. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Can I just say that Lemon's one of my favourite U2 songs?
Well,
this is quite nice, isn't it?
This is great.
It's quite nice, beautiful one, vocal stuff in there. Wow.
Now, in sharp contrast to the Clash's version, really, which was far more urgent and ramshackle and raggedy, but
that's the Clash doing it.
That's right. Well, Junior Mervyn hated the Clash's version, as did Lee Perry. That still didn't stop Lee Perry from working with the Clash about six months after that.
And name drop him somewhere, everybody just name dropped the shit out of them after they got famous. But yeah.
So this I think is, even though I mentioned a couple of other of the Black Ark productions at the time, this one here, I think because of the vocal. And because of the way the songs are written, it actually stands well apart from that other stuff. There's sort of none of the other stuff sounded like this at all.
So what's the album sound like? This.
Pretty much this.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, like most 1977 reggae, you will find there is some Rasta teachings and things in there.
Rasta influence.
Yep, but that doesn't really...
Meddling from the Rastafarian religion, yep.
But I don't think that's what characterises the record as much as sort of
at least they don't overdub. It's not too overdubby. I don't mean like lots of overdubs. I mean just lots of dubbiness. It's just nicely bop bop bop.
It's just
like Lee, I say, it's the Roots jellyfish.
That's right, the Lee Perry Aquarium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Imagine that.
But if you see him here, he looks far more like a 70s soul singer than a Rasta.
He's got some nice chewed going on. Hey, to the person who's texted and stopped talking over the music, that's what we do in this bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I like the person who just texted in trying to reverse psychology you saying, can you talk over it more, please?
Well,
if you want. I'll sing over it too if you want.
Here we also go. If you want to hear the whole thing, I'm sure you can. But we have it in the shop now on this very
blue
nice...
Blue vinyl.
Very nice blue vinyl pressing. That we've got in a few of those. Junior Mervyn, Police and Thieves, originally on Ireland. This here is a new pressing.
That one. Set shops all seconds.
Also, someone texting in, big fan. Beautiful, beautiful track. Junior Mervyn, top notch. Kiss, kiss.
Top notch, I love that term.
So that's a splendid one. Now, shall we stay on the falsetto singing styles?
Please, too. Are we going to be talking about this? A band that I hate the name of this band. I don't know why.
Well, when you say falsetto, I'm assuming you're not doing the one that you hate the name of.
No, we're doing the other one.
Oh, I'm doing that. Okay, sorry. No mistake. My mistake. I don't mind this one at all.
Right. Now, this record here, there's a lovely new pressing of it, and this is 45 years since this record first came
45?
Out.
45?
Yeah, this is 19.
An amazing cover, interesting cover.
Oh, have you not seen this one? Oh, there you go. Have a look at that one.
Oh, yes, I have.
Also, great bad pun. Excellent bad pun. I love this band.
Kimono My House.
Mm-hmm.
Kimono My House. I get it. Yeah, I get it.
The whole record is full of interestingly bad puns.
Weren't you both just saying that, you know, the jokes, it's even better when they're not funny?
Yes. Well, I mean, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Sparks, tell me about Sparks.
Sparks, well, like I said, this is 1973-74. Just moved to the UK. They're from Los Angeles. They'd done a couple of records and hadn't really gone many places. They moved to the UK, picked up three backing musicians, British ones, and somehow plugged into the same sort of more avant-garde end of glam that Roxy Music were doing at the time.
This is produced by Muff Winwood.
It is produced by Muff Winwood.
Who's that?
He was in the Spencer Davis group along with his brother Steve.
I see also one of the members of the band is rocking a Adolf Hitler moustache.
He doesn't still have that to this day.
Very few people can do that.
He's got a pencil moustache.
Matt Crawley runs as an Adolf Hitler / Captain Mannering.
They are brothers. They are the brothers Male, Ron and Russell, and one of them is the lead singer and incredibly flamboyant and glam, and the other is the majority songwriter, but very austere. Never really moves his face. Has the toothbrush moustache or a pinner moustache as he sports these days.
And they're still going. And they've always been a thoroughly interesting group. After this this sort of success they had with Kimono My House and the fall, what was the one after it? Indiscreet or Propaganda? One of those.
One of the two.
Yeah. In fact, we have those in the shop as well. New releases.
Well, heavy. This is heavy gauge, 180 gram vinyl, isn't it? Big whopper vinyl.
And by 1977, they thought, right, let's do something a little bit more interesting. Let's do a record with Giorgio Moroder.
Which is the best.
It's fantastic.
It's so good.
Wow.
So they did that record. And what was the big tune off that? Number One in Heaven La Dolce Vita?
The big hit was Number One in Heaven. I was doing my Saturday show once, and Kedia, who's doing the Morning Glory straight after the breakfast show, sent a text saying, going, what the shit is this?
Like, unhappy?
Yeah,
happy.
Very happy.
Oh, great.
Stuff.
So they bounce around. When they're bored with one style, they'll go and do something else, and usually to agreeable degree of success.
Yeah. From Kimono My House, what's the track we're playing?
Well, this is the track which kind of defines the whole record, even though we have on this record ones like, Talent is an Asset, which is about Einstein as a child.
Ah, the lyrics are fruity.
Put a falsetto there.
Increase in heartbeat, you hear the thunder of stampeding rhinos, elephants and tacky tigers. This storm ain't big enough for the both of us.
It's like Queen meets Jesus Christ Superstar meets Starlight Express.
Wait for Sarah's favourite bit right now.
For the both of us. Who's gonna leave?
Feels like I'm listening to the Polish version of Matilda, the stage show. Singing out, shower, another shower.
Yeah. Yes. The lyrics are really smart and funny. Like Here in Heaven, is that the one where Romeo and Juliet? It is. Here in Heaven, Romeo and Juliet suicide pact. It was a case of you first, and Juliet decides not to go. So the song's from the perspective of Romeo, who's all bummed out in heaven, knowing that Juliet's very healthy and won't be with him for a long, long time.
Well, this is the whole thing with Romeo and Juliet, isn't it?
Yeah. No? This tune, Hasta Mañana, Monsieur, it's like, I think...
See you tomorrow, sir.
It's a guy who fancies his tour guide, and he doesn't speak her language, and he thinks that she'll be impressed by him saying that. It's all sort of nuts, weird stuff.
I kind of like the way that that's, you're prepared to put that up. I mean, you know, people think Primus are an out of it band. What about that?
Right. Now,
you know, like as far as song choice and song, you know, topic and knock... That's a challenging song for people to put on at a party.
It's hard to sell Sparks to people as well because I liked it.
There's little
consistency other than a bit batshit.
I mean, they've gone on to do. They've like written a couple of musicals, haven't they?
Yes, and it was on some incredibly dry topic. It was on a philosopher or something.
Oh no, Chafing.
Was it Little Beethoven? Maybe. That was the other one.
Chafing's a pretty dry topic.
Chafing.
Musical on that.
But I mean, yeah, they still make records now. Their most recent record is about October. Stop it. It's about October.
Cracked it's called,
heels. It's called Hippopotamus, speaking of cracked heels.
They also had
I love hippopotamuses.
Did an album with Franz Ferdinand, which they called FFS.
That's right, yeah. I wasn't such a fan of that one, actually.
I bet Franz Ferdinand would try to be cool.
Glaswegian art school band, I'm sure, pretty big fans of
Sparks. I thought you said Norwegian art school band, then I was going to go, oh.
Oh, no, don't tell Carl. So, come over to my house. In fact,
there it is. So, the musical is called The Seduction of Ingmar Bergman.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
Just like, why not?
The best musicals are about the most boring things, aren't they? That's not true at all. But
this was a massive hit. This Town Ain't Big Enough was like a number one or number two or number three single in Britain that year.
That song we just played. Wow.
Yeah. It's
They're free thinkers back in those days, weren't they? The drugs and the love, sex and all that carry on.
See, I don't even think it was about that. I think that back then kids were switched on, the same as kids were always switched on. But at that point, it was kids dictating what was popular by buying stuff.
Yeah, but that's pretty. I mean, that's not bloody. It's not Bing Crosby, is it?
It's not, but kids weren't listening to Bing Crosby. They're listening to Dave
their parents,
Bowie.
Their parents, and that's what I'm saying. These are colourful times, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. 1973. Now, we don't go backwards and past in the past so much for this. Here's the name of the band that you hate. And
I just think every time I look. I love penguins. I love orchestras.
Even the cover.
I don't mind
like,
cafes.
Come on, mate.
Penguin Cafe Orchestra.
So Penguin Cafe Orchestra.
It looks like, who's the New Zealand artist that is? Is it Bill Hammond?
It's Hammond.
Looks like it's not a Bill Hammond though, is it?
No, it's not. No.
Now Penguin. See where he stole his ideas from.
Sorry, Bill. That was a joke, which wasn't funny, but we like not funny jokes.
Don't get Amy on your case.
So, Penguin Cafe Orchestra was basically the brainchild of a man called Simon Jeffers. Now, last year we did a record.
We've talked about the Penguin Cafe Orchestra and Simon Jeffers, haven't we?
We have.
In the past, yep.
That's because his son Arthur has something called Penguin Cafe. On Erase Tapes, and we did their album.
That's what
last
we did.
Year.
Yeah, cool.
Now Erase Tapes. Putting out for the first time on vinyl the last Penguin Cafe Orchestra album from 1994, I think it was. And
it's got a couple of people dressed up with penguin. Should we say they're masks or just heads?
No, I think they're just heads.
So we've got two actual penguins, is that right? Okay, penguin heads. They've both got penguin heads. One woman exposing herself full frontal.
Yep, and one man.
Gentle. Is he full frontal as well?
Kind of.
She's okay. Ripping a heart apart or something?
Yes, oh. She is.
It's got fish in it.
Yeah.
Heart with a fish in it?
Yeah.
So do you don't know that we're Penguin Cafe Orchestra
came from? Heart with a fish in it? Question mark?
Heart with a fish? Oh, my God.
Penguin heart.
So in the 70s, Simon...
If you ripped the fish apart and that was in the penguin, that was in the if you ripped the heart apart and there was a fish
sorry,
in it,
Troy.
And then you ripped the fish apart and there was a heart in the fish, which it would be, then you ripped that heart apart, what would be in there?
Penguin Russian dolls.
Yeah.
I think we'd find the cause of death quite quickly, wouldn't we?
A lot of questions.
Let me...
And then if you ripped its heart apart...
As you were, Troy, as you were...
I was just going to say that Simon Jeffers Penguin Cafe Orchestra, they started in the 70s and they came from an hallucination Mr. Jeffers had when he was suffering from food poisoning in France.
Oh my God.
Have you had those? I mean, some of my worst hallucinations have been heat stroke and food poisoning.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, heat stroke.
So
knocked it to the door of hell.
Which is kind of what Simon
it was,
saw.
It was just the Jervois Road too. Out of it.
So what he saw was like a bleak sort of brutalist office block, and he could see into all of the windows, and everyone in there was like not enjoying themselves. They were eating without tasting. They were listening to music without hearing.
Is it a hallucination? Because I've seen that just down there.
It is a hallucination. Well, yeah. It was then.
Yeah.
And he said that in the hallucination, he walked up the road, and there was somewhere called the Penguin Cafe, and he thought, at least there is something nice in this town, and in there was music playing, and so he figured that must be the Penguin Cafe Orchestra. Okay, one of those boring, relatable stories. However...
I like that story. I was wondering how many people were interested in the music that was playing at the Penguin Cafe Orchestra. Obviously not that many, because they were all at work.
Anyway, their first album came out on...
You can't just knock out a story like that and not have the backup to it. Come on.
I suppose.
You know? Like, I mean, was it the most... In that particular...
Well, Brian Eno liked it. So he put out their first album on his label. Oh, the jokes just keep on coming.
This is one from a few days ago.
Oh, was it?
I know, but I remember it, which is good.
Thanks, memory. Repeating jokes, it makes them funnier.
It
I
does.
Think. The more you repeat them, the funnier they
I've
become.
Found.
Yeah. Also, let me tell you about the first.
So what was that? So
now I've even lost the thread.
You're saying about Brian Eno?
He went to the Penguin Cafe.
Come on, give me a chance to say
music.
One more time. Oh,
Brian Eno put out the first album.
Which
album have you brought in for us today?
This is their last album. And it's just now erased tapes every issue.
Jesus!
Penguin Cafe Orchestra. Okay, here's the thing for you, Mike. Their first ever live performances, opening for Kraftwerk on the Man Machine Tour.
Good Lord.
Okay, so this is the kind of where you situate them. However, it's through composed sort of classical avant pop type material. Except for this one, which is off this record. It's called Scherzo and Trio. And this, I think, is a kind of a reimagined... If Boogie Woogie was a classical music, is what you kind of get in this as it starts up.
I hated it the first 2 seconds. I hated it, but I'm into it now. I'm turning very quickly.
You're into it?
Yeah.
There you go.
It reminds me a bit of a Pixar film.
Yeah, I like this.
Mikey's riding a pretend
good
bicycle.
Morning, good morning. Good.
Thank goodness you're not on TV.
Beep beep. Warning to you. This is awesome. I reckon I can win the 24-hour film festival this next 48-hour film festival this next year.
Is this what happens when there's no news?
Yes. Yes.
I knew that.
You might have actually just completely swung your right around a Bengal Cafe Orchestra.
See, you thought it was going to be all serious and furrowed brow and chin scratching.
I thought it was going to be boring, but no.
No, it's not.
Not at all.
There is a lot of humour. Well, as much humour as you can have in instrumental music, you'll find.
There's a bit of boogie woogie in this, you're right, too.
Yeah.
Tell you what, if you're listening to this and you're still glum, something's you need to go to the doctor. That's pretty chirpy shit.
Yep. There's another one on here called a Pythagoras on the Line, which is
right.
Yeah. Which yes, it is about a telephone. There's one called Passing Through.
I didn't think it was about a telephone. I was thinking about Pythagoras.
On the
I was thinking
line.
About triangles and acute triangles obtuse triangles and that sort of stuff. I don't know what you guys are into, but I don't know.
Passing Through, which lasts for about a minute, and then the last 7 minutes of it are tuned droplets of water making a kind of hilarious noises.
What?
Yep.
I love the sound of that.
It's one called Yodel 3. You can guess what that's like.
Yodeling's a lost art.
It's one called Red Shorts.
Oh, red shorts.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my girlfriend had some red shorts on yesterday. Oh my God.
And you've borrowed them and worn them today.
Underneath these ones.
Underneath those. So Union Cafe, the reason why it turned out to be the last record is. I'll just go back to our shop, shall I? Okay.
No.
Southbound
do
Records.
Please stay.
Don't do that, you get
Scott,
caught.
Don't leave me
alone. So that's one of the great sounding stuff, Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us a bit more.
So we got it's on first time on vinyl. It's double vinyl. Erase Tapes have put it out because they are the ones that are putting out Arthur Jeffers Penguin Cafe stuff. There's a bunch of really good Erase Tape stuff coming up as well. There's a new Nils Frahm album coming soon. There's also the latest Peter Broderick, and that's going
to
be it. All
not to be muddled up with Matthew Broderick, the actor.
No, doesn't even look like him. And Sarah's looking forward to Nasty Gal by Betty Davis, which is going to be on vinyl for the first time in 40-something years.
That's on vinyl?
On vinyl.
Ooh.
So there's cool things coming up, but like I said, we've
heard me, Betty. Shit, I love Betty Davis.
Everyone does. Hey, did you know? Have you heard about this documentary about Betty Davis?
No, I knew there was somebody was trying to make one and get funding for quite some time. Is it the same one?
Yeah, they made it apparently. So that's going to be good. Betty's 72 now.
I love her.
Yeah. So these are just a few of the things we've got at Southbound at the moment. We also got delivered a whole bunch of second-hand 7-inch singles, which are going out this weekend, like about 1,000 of them or something.
You did a post about that, yeah? It's going to be Bonanza, 7-inch single Bonanza.
Is there a post?
I think so.
I don't look at those things on the internet, even our ones, but I'm sure we have them.
So the 7-inch Bonanza, what's happening?
I think it goes out this weekend. There's like we got all these old 7-inches.
So they're obviously you've received them and now you've processed them and now they're ready to be sold to wonderful music fans out there.
Correct. Yeah.
The last sale you guys had with somebody's or more than one person's rather secondhand collection. A lot of good disco 12-inches.
Oh yeah.
It was a happy day in the BFM office.
Did you buy a bunch of that stuff?
Just a bunch.
I was disappointed that there was something you didn't buy. What was it?
So let's bring it up now, though.
Let's bring it up on air.
Yeah, let's. Yeah, I'm going to talk about my disappointment. Anyway, more questions? Anybody?
Those are great. So those are all on the shelves now?
Yeah, they're all on the shelves.
Any that people should run to buy because they're limited copies? All of them, really, right?
They're all kind of limited. I could tell you why the Penguin Cafe Orchestra one is far more limited than it was supposed to be, but I won't tell you. The coloured vinyl version, the whole pressing seemed to be bad.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Oh, no!
I just found out. There we go.
Oh, no!
For people out there who do buy vinyl, there's often a myth that coloured vinyl, because it's not as used...
Used to be a little less quality.
Yeah.
But you've also got to remember... Poorly.
But that's before the push coloured vinyl, which is top quality.
You do know that black vinyl is coloured as well.
Yeah.
So it's all artificially coloured.
Yeah, clear right. PVC. The PVC that makes vinyl records is sort of opaquey clear, which is what Erase Tapes do for their coloured vinyl. It's all no dyes at all. Yeah. You know why records were coloured black?
Because it's coal.
Because in
it's
the
true, actually, what, she's right there.
What came right before them was the Shellac 78 discs,
right?
And that and they
Shellac's made out of crushed animal black. Bits, crushed insect bits. Eh?
It is, yeah. And so people.
So not such a big jump of change.
Yeah, no big cognitive dissonance. Huh. They thought, we'll colour this plastic black as well, and look like already what people are playing on their stereos, on their monos. Yeah.
See, glad we asked that final question. Thank
love
you
one
for
of
that.
Those ones. You get some actually really good sounding with some of those. I call them grams. What do you call them? Phonograms.
Gramophones.
Gramophones. The word I was looking for. Thanks, Troy. Hey, always a pleasure, Troy. And if those are up at the shop right now at Southbound Records.
They are.
Hot damn. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.
Donnie. Why, Donnie. Sweet, sweet tune. 24 minutes of 10. 12 on the way over yes. top of this as well.
This is the ghetto. Showing up now. Oh,
talked about the top 10.
Guys, we're here with Phil. She's the host of the top 10. Last night was the first top 10. Was it first top 10 for the 2018?
First one for this year. Yeah, because I was away on the third.
2018.
What's with the puns this morning?
It's just brilliant.
It was the first shine. One. Just very exciting. And it was a pretty good one, now I have to say.
Pretty good one. Let's look at number 10, In a Cell, that song by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. I like that song quite a lot. I like two-thirds of it. I like two-thirds of it.
Yeah, number 9 was Gold Rush by Sorry. Do you think that's... Is it Boot It?
Sorry About It.
Bout It.
Sorry About It!
It's a 2000 pun team.
You're not sorry. On your own. I know that Johnny Kim Drive was calling it Sorry Boudet as well.
He's been overseas. He's a worldly guy, you know?
That's just how he is. Number 8, Up School, All Normies by Executive Zone. Number 7, which I bloody love, is by Fish Doll, who's this artist from Beijing.
I thought it was Fish Hadol, but okay.
called Toehead. She's this awesome artist from Beijing, and I just was like, what the hell? She's great. PHF.
So, how would you describe that music? How would you describe Toehead's music? Fish Doll's
like,
music?
It's sort of like housey.
Is it Fish Doll? Fish Doll's a cool name for a band.
I know.
PHF, I Hate Myself, number 6.
Number 5, Hans Packet, Fuck My Life. Oh, everyone just like...
A couple of positive, positive tunes
2018,
there.
2018, new year, new you.
Fuck My Life, Hate Myself.
Shampoo.
But then beaten in the top 10 by Shampoo and Conditioner.
Eno and Dirty, which is great. Number 3, Babyface, Try Me. Number 2, which is one of my favourite songs at the moment, Mia.
Hold on, go back to Babyface. Is that baby? It's not that baby.
Mia, number 2, Pomegranate. She's so good. She's just great.
What's the capital M, capital E, capital E, small, lowercase R?
I think it's the printer.
It's the printer's fucked.
Kill me for even making assumptions, but the woman's real first name is Reem. So if you reverse that.
Yeah, but she doesn't spell it with a capital R and lowercase.
Well, because just how it was the opposite.
I suppose you do.
It's how Bridge wrote it, so I just wrote it like that. always trust Bridge. Number 1, Earth Tongue, Pentagram on the Moon. They're a little duo from a Wellington psych rock thing, is I think what their
duo.
Description was.
Well, yeah,
pretty, just two
pretty
of them.
Grunty for a duo.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sarah and I were talking about this yesterday, about imagine if you suddenly woke up and your tongue was made of earth. How that would taste.
Sadly, we were talking about.
But would you
about
taste? Would you taste because your tongue would you have the same?
No, because
soil tastes soiled.
You have no taste buds.
It's crumbly.
Ooh.
You wouldn't have a drink. It'd suddenly go all muddy if you had a drink.
Oh yeah, that would be real yuck. And how would you brush?
Worms and stuff.
To vote though, 95 BFM.
It
would always be dirty.
Not if you kept it away from your teeth.
No. 95bfm.com.
It would always be dirty.
/top 10 to vote, please, or text to 5395 with vote at the start. Put vote at the start. It's not gonna happen.
You're a dynamite gal, Pearl, and
Thank you.
I want to know what it is you've got planned for this year, because I can see there's something on there, something on the agenda.
Who knows? I'm just gonna ride the wave of 2018 because I don't even know.
It's just gap year, babe.
Gap year's actually next year.
Bro, I don't
it's
even know
be
my
the year
name is
saving
let alone
money.
What my fucking name is. Hard out.
Right.
See what happens when the news team are away?
Oh, yeah. I forgot you guys got no news.
Yeah, we'll
go. Did you miss it?
Yeah.
There's no half-hour structure.
Just miss it so much.
That's what you
he says on his phone.
No, I'm just going to annoy
children
you.
Children need else. Structure.
Do they?
Well, you do.
Ultra far away, but really scary up close.
Is that what you mean?
What's that from? Why do I recognise that voice?
It's Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
No, it's not. It's from American Dad, I think.
That's embarrassing that I just accidentally told everyone that I watch American Dad.
The thing is...
What about those pentagrams on the moon, though?
Do you know the moon actually woke me up the other night?
What?
The light from the moon came into my room at 2 a.m. and woke me up, and it scared the shit out of me. And now I'm freaked out because I think it means something.
Light sleeper?
I'm not a light sleeper.
We can't all be on the meds, man, for sleeping.
Sarah, God. Jesus.
I didn't mean that. I can't
win. One day I'm called an alcoholic. One day I'm called an abusing prescription man.
I'm not saying anything. Far be it from me to judge.
I think the moon was just trying to tell me that the song would be number 1.
One of the worst nights.